This wicked lover crept to the grave. Now, he was a Templar. It's them Templars that's got us puzzled. Now, I've been saying something not quite accurate, but I have some people that have gone out and bought this book, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, which en route sometime in the next 52 years I will debunk, by Bajant, Lee, and Lincoln. They shouldn't be unhappy with me. I'm about to make it another bestseller. That people are emptying the bookstores to buy it. Now, I've been saying something not strictly accurate. I have said, it's okay if you buy it and read ahead of me, because you won't really know what it means anyway. That's not true. It's not true. I just had a funny thought, but I'm just going to let it go. That's really not true. You're smart enough to figure out what it means. That isn't really what I've meant. I mean, it doesn't matter if you buy the book. You can't figure out what I'm going to do with it. And it dawned on me last night that it's not quite fair to say you can read this and not understand it. You're smart enough to understand it, just as smart as I am in figuring this book out. But you don't know what I'm going to do with it, do you? You're not even sure that I do, are you? Well, I know exactly what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to stop reading it right now. Throw the fourth one from the right out. He clapped. Started clapping when I said I was going to stop reading it right now. He's a descendant of the tribe of Benjamin. He's afraid I'm going to uncover all of his roots. I tell you, we're having fun with this book. I never knew Halloween could be so much fun. If I work this right, I'll stretch it all the way to Thanksgiving. And when Thanksgiving comes, I then have a whole month to debunk Christmas. That's going to be fun again. I got some new stuff about Christmas. But I'm not just having fun with this book. It is one of the finest little summaries of a period of medieval history up to the modern times. The role of the Templars, the Merovingians, the long-haired rulers, and the possibility, very real, of a secret society behind these more prominent expressions in history pulling strings. One of these days I'll return to Carol Quigley. This wicked, a light blew out here, and we've learned to look for fire coming down. If we were an ordinary religious network, the amount of fire that has fallen in this studio, would have put us so far ahead of all others in spirituality, there wouldn't even be competition. Which one blew? Is it safe to go on? You were standing under it, Joe. We still have burned keys on the piano keyboard of one of our pianos. Pianos. As I was saying, in our preaching on the book of Revelation, we will return again to the importance of Ezra's writings and that further development in prophecy of the nondescript beast in Daniel's prophecies, the extension of the Roman Empire. Likewise, we are in the midst of searching for proofs of the existence of the lost tribes. I'm telling you, short and simple, if you are a Christian, if the so-called lost tribes cannot be found, then Ingersoll and Tom Paine were right. You may possibly end up with a faith in God if you want to have one, but the Judaic Christian God and the biblical foundation for it is destroyed. I, years ago, recognized that Christian faith is based upon choices at certain either-or crossroads. And the thing that turned me off on Christianity, well, first what turned me off were phonies, but when I began to deal with it intellectually, the thing that turned me off on it was the wishy-washy, marshmallow, lack of foundation. When Jesus said you could build on what he said, you build on a rock. As I preached on Anniversary Sunday, Jesus, the only Jesus found in history, forces a choice. It is a created, non-existent historical alternative that modern marshmallow thinking projects about Christianity. He cannot be merely a good and wise teacher. If he was good, he was nuts. I think there's some nutty people that are good, but they're not wise. If he was wise, he was wise enough to know that what he was saying about himself could not be true of any mortal man, and he therefore was a fraud, and deliberately projecting an image about himself that he was wise enough to know could not be true. And anyone who looks at the case will say, you know, that's true. So they say he either was good and not wise, or was wise and not good. That isn't what the world has said. They said he's a good and wise teacher because they don't have the guts to make the tough choice about him. He was either an absolute nut, an absolute fake, or exactly what he projected himself to be. That's the either-or about Christ. There isn't any other Christ to be found in history. And the fundamental issue that decides that either-or is that the same man who made those claims claimed to rise from the dead. And if he did do what he claimed to be going to do, rise from the dead, the fact that the man who made the other claims about himself came out of the tomb focuses the look on him. And instead of philosophically conceiving a God that you can approve of and then looking for a representative among the various good men of history, this breakthrough on the stage of history defines by his own self-projection the minimum qualities of the God he was. A diamond has distinguishing characteristics, and every diamond has those characteristics. You didn't define the characteristics and then say, I'm going to call this a diamond. A mineral with those characteristics, it's number 10 on the hardness scale. No other mineral is number 10 on the hardness scale. They all fall short. The diamond was there before the characteristics were seen. Jesus proves his claim, and the claims become the definition of God. You don't need anything else. You build upward from that. I was once told by a philosopher, you've got to believe that the nature of godness is personal. Then you've got to believe it's the nature of a person to reveal himself. And because it's the nature of a personal to believe him, to reveal himself, and because God is personal, you therefore look for the revelation. There's nothing anywhere to convince me that God must be personal. In fact, philosophy finds more comfort in an impersonal God. I've been told, well, there must be a first cause. There must be somewhere a causer, a prime mover, a first cause from which all things are caused. I don't need that. My mind doesn't have one bit of trouble with infinite regression. I don't have the slightest problem with that. It's an emotional thing. It is no more difficult for me to believe that things always were than it is to believe there must be something or someone or an event that starts it all. I have no more difficulty comprehending a circle that never ends than I do a straight line that has a beginning and an end. Philosophy does not require any of that. What I simply cannot accept is that any mortal man can walk on the stage of history, see the authority in himself, be perfect, or project a sense of no imperfection in his own view of himself, claim a view of eternity from other worlds, that he was there, is here temporarily and going back, put himself the center of the religious universe, saying he's like the peg of eternal life and everything else is tied to it. Make eternal life dependent upon what you do with him more than what you do with what he says. Say the whole world's got something wrong that he alone has the means to correct, and announce that in the process of correcting, he must die, but he'll rise again. That takes godness out of the abstract. I would worship a bureaucrat that could meet those qualifications if he came out of the tomb. That is hard-headed fact. There is no one that could make those claims about himself and then die the death he died and raise again and ascend off in the blue, that I will not find emotional strength and momentum to believe his claims. And I think I'm philosophic and realistic enough to know there are some people that a person who did all of that, they still couldn't believe in him. But I find no difficulty in believing that here is the starting point for the definition of God that I need. I don't need anything else. Everything else can be speculative, abstract, and developmental. I start out with a God who is authority, perfection, eternal, the answer to my needs, and the center of my devotion, and the center of all claims in terms of priority on my life, who bought me, who removed the barriers to eternal life, and who showed by his own resurrection that what he offered, eternal life, is a reality. And I can start with that. I can put my teeth in that. Either ors. The only Jesus of history made those kind of claims. The claims he made stand or fall on the resurrection. I asked Lex Miller, my religion prof, who led me through my dissertation at Stanford University with a PhD, head of the religion department at Stanford, Niebuhr's assistant at Union, the New Zealand ethical theologian of international fame. I said to him, Lex, why will you not? Now, I've studied with you. We reached that rapport. I said, why will you not base your faith on the resurrection? He said, I'm afraid it cannot be sufficiently proven. I said, well, if it can't, I don't need Jesus. Confucius works better. You ought to read about the five great relationships that Confucius taught. You live by it, the world will be a lot better off. His golden rule is more workable than Jesus' rule ever was. Because his rule protects you against sinful men. Jesus' golden rule in the hands of sinful men lets them cram their view down your throat. It's the resurrection. There would have been no Christianity without the claim of the resurrection. Take the claim of the resurrection away, and Christianity was a failure. It took modern philosophers to try to find ethical meaning. And very seldom do you hear modern philosophers quote Jesus saying, think not that I'm come to bring peace. I'm come to bring a sword. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. How many ethical, super-loving preachers have you ever heard preach on that text? Jesus said it. Nobody has ever quoted Jesus at the United Nations cleaning out the temple. Sermon on the Mount, they love, particularly Blessed are the Meek. Yet, you're forced to that either or. Either he came out of the grave, or he didn't. And if he didn't, he's a failure. He's a good man nut, or a wise man fraud. That resurrection. But Paul said, there's no resurrection, our faith is vain. Furthermore, we've found false witnesses of God, for we have testified of God that he raised up the Christ. Christianity is a message promoted by liars if there's no resurrection. And that's the next. In proving up the resurrection, as I preached Sunday, it is either or. It is a story told by conspiring, crafty, lying disciples who save face and contrived the story to do it and were liars and knew they were lying, or it was honest men reacting and overwhelmed by the truth as they witnessed it. There isn't anything in between. That's why the New Testament church had a simple truth to preach, took church councils and political manipulations and ego conflicts to make it so confusing that we preachers of today have to dig back to the beginning. And the Bible, once canonized, if the Bible is God's Word, if the lost tribes cannot be found, the Bible's not true. I'm not talking about one verse here and there where you maybe think it was just an isolated incident. If the lost tribes of Israel, called the house of Joseph, or the house of Israel, or Ephraim, Samaria, not the Samaritans of Jesus' day who were transplanted under the Assyrian rulers. If those lost tribes that were carried into bondage by the Assyrians do not exist as powerful population groups, powerful nations today, God's a liar. And that's one of the prime reasons I'm on this book. If the descendants of Abraham did not occupy thrones, God's a liar. I do not understand how English-speaking people can go to Westminster Abbey and see that stone under that coronation chair that is called by modern England Jacob's Pillar Stone, and not ask why. I cannot fathom how people can sit through a coronation ceremony in all of its elements of the British throne and read the genealogies of kings without asking why. And I cannot fathom a bestseller that would have Christians familiar with the Crusades knowing anything about medieval history and the bases by which a throne was allowed that a kingdom of Jerusalem could be set up and somebody allowed to be dubbed the King of Jerusalem without asking why.